want you, if you would, to turn with me to Psalm 27. As we think about our city this morning, and go ahead and bring up the next slide, if you would, Ricky. We as a church have been in a series entitled The Great Church. And we have been working through the white titles there. And God has impressed upon me this morning just to pause and talk with you and all of us that are here about how we can be a great church, and we do it through the prayers that we can offer up. Everyone can pray in this building. Everyone can pray outside of this building. And we can pray for some specific things. We can ask God to move in a great way. And there's other things we can do. And tonight we'll talk about that. How do we respond as a great church? How do we respond as Christians? We'll deal with that tonight at 5 o'clock. But this morning, I want us to kind of pause. We're still in the series, so to speak, A Great Church. But I want us just to deal with the prayers. And you're in Psalm 27. Just stay there. We're going to end up in Acts 4 at the end of the service, where this is the verse that is mentioned about the early church in verse 31 of Acts 4. Just listen as I read. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The only thing that I want to try to accomplish this morning is, as a pastor, is yield to how God will lead this service for the next 20, 30, 40 minutes. And be used to just kind of facilitate just some thoughts, some prayer time for some different points. And then to come back and visit that verse that I just mentioned, and to really hopefully send us out with hope and healing and a boldness to love our community. That's what I want to do this morning. I want you to look at Psalm 27. As I want you to listen as I read, I also would like for you to fill in the first thought of what I want us to pray for this morning. And I'll be asking some different people within our church to stand or to come forth and pray over this thought. But number one, I want us to pray for those that lost loved ones. Pray for those that lost loved ones. 58 victims and one shooter. There were 59 people that lost their life on that day. And as you hear that news, I mean, think about what John just recalled, right? And early in the morning, 20 people dead, and that was an astounding number. And then the number just kept climbing, right? And many, by Monday afternoon, are fearing, when is the number going to stop? Amen. I'll tell you this, one is too many, of course, in that type of a tragedy. But there were 58 victims and one shooter. And I do believe that as Christians and as a church and as a community, we have to take time this morning to pray for those that lost their loved ones. In Psalm 27, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." No, verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle, tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Families have gotten and are getting the news. Many are already aware that they have lost a loved one. And this morning, we must take time to pray and ask that the Comforter would show up in their lives, and that would help them to maybe give a little bit more of understanding that we never could. We know that we are to lift our eyes up into the hills. We are, of course, as I said this morning, to understand that God is on the throne. Amen. In a tragedy like this, and when someone loses a loved one, we must remind ourselves and even help others as we can to know that God is in control. And he alone can bring beauty from these ashes. See, as hard as it is for our finite mind to look at that situation and go, was God in control? God was in control. God didn't lose control from 10:05 to approximately 10:15 when all that's going on. God didn't lose control. And I'm not this morning going to preach a message on all the whys and answers. That would take us, I think, a length of time this morning that I don't want to go down. And if you have questions, I will be available after service. I'll stay around as long as needed to answer that question fully if you'd like. But God was in control.
Right.
And in this time, I want to remind you that God wants to bring beauty out of this devastation, out of these ashes. Amen. We should pray that God can turn the hearts who may be asking why toward Him.
Right.
As Barbara said about those young'uns that will never be able to be wrapped, or mom will never be able to wrap them and hug them again. That's hard. It's difficult. I believe the youngest that passed away on that day was 20 years of age, and the oldest was 67. From different states, even from Canada, different places. There are many around the world that are hurting. I would like to invite Brother Dave Baldwin, if you would come to the platform this morning. I would like for you to lead us in prayer for just those that lost loved ones. Praying and comforting, asking God just to help their family, to bring beauty in this time, even of this devastation. Would you bow your head? Would you pray silently as Brother Dave leads us in prayer this morning for the lost loved?
Lord, grace, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for being a good, kind, merciful God, Lord. And as Pastor said, you are in control, Lord. And so many people hurting, fearful out there, Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the great comforter, Lord. Pray that you comfort us in our hearts and our souls and our minds. And help us to be comforters to others that are worried, nervous, scared, that have lost loved ones, Lord. And we know that you have a purpose and a plan each and everything that happens on this planet, Lord. And we praise you for being so good, kind, and merciful to us, Lord. And we just pray for your grace and mercy to reign throughout this city, throughout this nation, throughout this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Have a good day. I want to say this statement to you, and is this: amid tragedy, people have the tendency to either draw closer to Him or push Him away. May we all continue to pray that this tragedy draws people to Jesus, because our city desperately needs that.
Amen.
Pray for those that lost loved ones. In a moment, I'll talk to you about another area of prayer, but there are families that have been devastated by the news that a loved one's not coming home. One of those is Brennan Stewart, which is a close friend to the Taylor's future son-in-law. And we're going to begin raising funds for victims of this shooting. And if you'd like to give throughout the month of October, you can just put a memo and just put victim relief. 100% of what comes in will go to help the family. We will personally have a time where we will sit with the families and just give them a donation of whatever comes in. Several families we want to help. There's the Baca family who was injured, and twin girls that go to Faith Lutheran that is close friends to relatives of Donna Riley, and many others that we're going to reach out and help with. And I want to encourage you, as the Lord lays it on your heart, you can give to a GoFundMe account that the city has. It, that is fine. But if God would lay something on your heart to give to the Victims Relief through Mountain View Baptist Church, we would like to accumulate that in the month of October and then have some special time to sit with these families and just let them know that there's a church that loves them. And if God would give us the opportunity to share the gospel, we'd love to do that. But most importantly, we want to just show compassion like Jesus. And so I encourage you to pray and think about these families that have lost a loved one. Brandon Stewart is one of those families that we will be helping. Number two this morning, I want us to take some time and pray for our law enforcement, EMTs, and hospitals.
Amen.
In a nation that is so divided through law enforcement, and can I say this very quickly? Yes, in all fields there's good and bad, okay? I get that. But the bulk is good, especially when it comes to law enforcement, and who are willing to put their lives in the line. 22,000 people enjoying a time together in a gathering. And when the shots rang out and people began to scatter and run away from the scene, there were hundreds of EMTs and law enforcement officers that were running in to the site, putting their life in danger. And yes, we've heard of law enforcement from California and even local that have lost their lives and others that have been injured. My friend, I want to ask you this morning, throughout this week, take some time and thank and praise law enforcement officers, EMTs, and hospitals. They are worthy to be praised. They have worked hard. They have gone to sleepless nights day after day to really get a city back up and running that has 42 million people that come through year after year to visit this wonderful city and to all the locations, different things. Las Vegas has a top tier of responders. May we pray for every officer, firefighter, and paramedic. May we take the time to go out of our way to thank them, to give a high five, a handshake, a hug where it's able, and let them know how much we love them. Pray for those that provide medical care in the hospitals. No matter what they have been through, may I say this, they have never had this many wounded at that point. And may I say this, that there is nothing that could ever prepare an officer, EMT, for a scene like that. I'm certain that they were and are overwhelmed. And as we think about lost loved ones, as we think about others, may we make sure that we take the time to think about law enforcement, EMTs, and firefighters. I want to be careful that I had the privilege this week to sit down with a couple of EMTs, have a brunch with them, and just try to encourage them and love them. Listen to some of the stories that they want to share. I wasn't asking. They just needed to share. And I'll be honest with you, my friend, some of the things that they saw, the things that they encountered on that night, are never ever going to leave them. They answered the call of duty. They answered the call that God placed on their life. They knew what they signed up for, if I may say. But even though what they signed up for, they never imagined. The bloodshed, the screaming, the pain. Images that will stay with them forever. My friends, see, we will move on quickly, often within tragedy like this. But this morning, we're here just to remind our church, remind our community, remind us as Christians that there are many who are going to spend the rest of their life thinking about October 1st, 2017.
That's right. Amen.
Some of you have been to war, and some of you have seen much devastation. May I say in its own term, I'm not trying to play a comparison game, but that was a war zone down there. Doesn't take long to click and find images and just to see, and we, if I may say, see some of the better images. Law enforcement, EMTs, and hospitals have seen much tragedy. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 73. I want to read this passage. I'm going to ask Pat Taylor to come and pray over our law enforcement, EMTs, and for our hospitals. His daughter is an EMT who also responded and saw much devastation. His future son-in-law, Nate, did the same at Desert Springs Hospital. Pat and I have conversed and talked about some of the details and things that they personally saw and are going through. I ask you to pray for Nate and Alicia by name. But pray for all law enforcement and all EMTs and hospitals. In Psalm 73, verse 23, the Bible says this, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I may desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring after from thee. But look at verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works.
Amen.
Pat, would you come pray for our law enforcement here and hospitals?
Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, it's just great to be here today, Lord, to share, to comfort one another where the community is in our pain. But Lord, we just have so many blessings that we can revel in. Lord, first off, we just thank you for those people that provide security for us. Those security personnel at the event and at the hotel, and law enforcement in our community provide our security, Lord. We just take it for granted that they're there. Last Sunday night, they were there. Lord, we also take great comfort in the paramedics, the fire department, the EMTs, and Lord, our hospitals and our emergency rooms, who are just filled with capacity with trauma. Lord, we just reach out to you. We ask that you just you comfort all those in pain, those families that are living through the pain of injuries, and some of them that'll have lifelong injuries, Lord. We ask that you just look after all those first responders, Lord. Those people that are strong when we're weak. Who are brave when we are afraid. And who are vigilant when the chaos was upon us. Lord, it takes a special person to be able to rise up in the time of chaos, to remain calm, collected, and to do God's will. Lord, we just thank those wonderful individuals out there who are able to overcome, provide security, provide love to those folks that were injured, Lord. I think about my children and my son-in-law who've seen things that they shouldn't see at their young age. And the tragedy and the trauma, the blood on the floor, the people that died in the emergency room that was filled to capacity. And my heart bleeds for them to have to witness what people in the military see only in war. And Lord, that long-lasting imagery, that's going to stay with them forever, Lord. I just pray that you comfort them. You let them compartmentalize that, learn from it, and be better first responders. Lord, I ask that you just, all those folks that helped, Lord, protect them as they protect others. And Lord, we know it's your will. But I'm comforted in the fact of, just like the disciples when they were on the boat in Galilee, when the storms were raging,
yes,
Jesus said, have faith. And that's what we must do. We must have faith. And we will overcome this. But in this time, we can sure pray and thank our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I know there might be a couple here this morning. I know some are out of town, but if you work as a law enforcement or EMT or in the hospital, would you just stand? I know Miss Trish is gone today, and that's not here. I don't see them standing. Well, Again, if you see an individual this week, take the time to just slow down and thank them. Number three this morning, I want us to pray for others who were there. Lost loved ones, law enforcement, EMTs, hospitals, and just for those who were there. You know, there were 58 that were victims that day, but the number of 489 injured. 22,000 around that area at the concert, and then even on the streets around Mandalay Bay and such. Let's just say, and I'm just throwing a number out there, anywhere from probably 25 to 27,000 to probably maybe a little more were affected by this. It's a lot of people. People that were injured, we should ask that God bring, of course, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. I mentioned to you, Miss Liz had her granddaughter down there, and I've talked to others throughout the week who have had people who are down there, or even as Elaine has said, you know, her son works that area. The stories hit home, and we no doubt realize that there's a lot of emotions and a lot of images. Think about this. 22,000 people gathered to take pictures of country singers and to hear the music. I say this very carefully, but they left with many other images. Many other emotions and feelings and much heartache. And I know that in the weeks and months and days ahead, I are going to encounter people that were down there.
Right.
I believe it's important that we take a moment like this today and pray for them now and continue to pray for them. And when you interact with them, you can honestly say, I've been praying for you. I'm glad that God has crossed our paths, and is there anything I can do for you? Back in Psalm 121, I'd like to read the whole chapter to you, and then I would like to ask Brother Ricky to come and pray for those that were down there. It's a big number. It's a great, vast area of people that were affected by injuries and images that are in their minds. And I do believe it's time that we would just pause and take a moment and pray for others who were there. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Just a reminder that God's always awake. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that talks about just God's presence, his steps, and just how he's around us and always with us. And again, many left that concert running, no doubt, with many images stamped in their mind. Ricky, would you come and pray for those that were around there? And all the others that have been affected, maybe they didn't have a physical injury, but they have much emotion and spiritual need and desires. Would you bow and let Ricky lead us in this prayer for others?
Heavenly Father, just want to lift up to you all those who were affected by the events last Sunday. Oh, dear Lord, with hundreds who were wounded and thousands more who were affected one way or another. There are many, I have no doubt, that are thinking about you, specifically thinking about Jesus, Lord, about someone who has in the past shared the gospel with them. Perhaps this event has put them sort of on the fence. Lord, I just pray that this would be used, or not to cause cynicism, bitterness in any way, Lord, but that they will ultimately make that decision to put their faith and trust in you. Father, I wasn't even there that night, but even in the past few days, you know how I personally have been affected in small ways. Lord, just sounds that I've heard that resembled the sound of gunfire and have drawn my
tying back to the events that night. But Lord, for those who were there, they're going to be dealing with this for many years to come. I just pray that you would provide healing psychologically and emotionally, Lord, that you would provide the peace that you talk about in your word passes all understanding. We love you. We love you, Lord. We thank you that one day we have the promise that you will return.
Yes.
You will put an end to all of this. We look forward to that day, Lord, in heaven. No more pain and suffering. We can just live in your presence for all eternity. Until that day comes, Lord, I pray that we would be patient. I pray that we would run our race with endurance. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you have your Bible, would you turn to the New Testament, to the book of Philippians? There are so many that have stood in front of cameras this week and have given reports. I thank the Lord for our sheriff, for his hard work upon this crime scene, and other council members and state representatives. No one's perfect, but one thing that you have seen this week is deep down, I believe there are Americans who can put politics aside.
Amen.
And be grateful and thankful for those that are leading a city, leading a state, leading a nation. I'd like to ask us for the fourth thought this morning, to pray for the Las Vegas community. Praying for our city officials to lead well at this time. Praying for our government as a whole, not only just in the city, but as a nation. Pray that God gives wisdom to know what to do, what to say, and how to carry things out. Within the Las Vegas community, pray for the counselors who are working with victims, family members, and responders. Think about pastors. Think about therapists who are sitting across tables from people. At hospitals, at mortuaries. Trying to console, comfort. That is not an easy task. When a loved one's life, as we would put it, has been robbed from them, to try to console a grieving family. There are pastors and there are counselors and therapists that are rising to that occasion. We need to make sure we're praying for them.
Yeah.
For the first responders, again, that are at the bedside, even today, with medical, or with individuals in the hospitals that are still confused, dazed, wondering, and they need to have the words of wisdom to even help and encourage nurses and doctors. Can I also encourage us as a community, and this is big, to pray for our teachers and the staff of Clark County School District.
Amen.
Think about the kiddos.
That's right.
Amen. I shared this on Monday night. I was at Starbucks before we came to the prayer service. There were some kids, probably an age range of 12, maybe 16, the very, very most. I got a cup of coffee, and I was making sure nobody showed up for what I originally had planned as just a time with Pastor at 4:30. After I had sat inside for a moment, I watched those kids, and no one had showed up, and I felt like they had gotten the information that we were meeting at 5:30 here. I walked out, and I just stopped and talked to those kids for just a moment, and they were just kind of playing, being kiddish, which kids should do. I just asked the question, what do you think about what happened last night? And of course, at that point, you know, it was the Sunday night event. Most of them were like, nah. But one of them says, it's just normal. And it broke my heart because, to be honest with you, that's the generation that is coming. It is normal. It's normal to turn on the news 12, 15, 20 times throughout the year and hear of a massacre within a school or a hostile workplace or at concerts or whatever it may be. And there's teachers that sit in front of these children Monday through Friday and look in their eyes and are called upon to become grief counselors or therapists. Pray for our teachers, for our staff at Carr County School District.
Amen.
Pray that the Las Vegas community would come together to heal, and that the other great needs that are in this community would be seen and to be exposed, and we would work together. You know, Las Vegas has a reputation around the world for what takes place in a relatively small section of the city, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I remember moving here 15 years ago and coming out of Colorado in a small town of 3,000 to 4,000 people. You're in Las Vegas, you're crazy. You want to raise your family there? You're crazy. And of course, for me, it wasn't crazy that God had brought me here. And driving in for the very first time back in 2002, my wife and I drove 15 all the way to the other end, and I remember looking at her and going, wow. Wow. I'd never been to Las Vegas before. We had come to survey the area, to potentially, Lord willing, work with this church, which God brought, and I'm thankful for. But I remember just going, wow, this is the city. And then night came, and the lights came on. And the pastor of the church at this time drove us down through the strip, and we didn't go very fast because there were so many cars and people. And I went, wow. And to be honest with you, that's what the world thinks of when they think of Vegas, but it's just a small little place. It's actually a desert town that has that people call home, that is home to more than 1 million people, that go to work and do construction and law firms and insurance and on it goes, and their children go to school here. I think it's important that we pray for our community. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to ask Brother Witt, would you come and be willing to pray over the Las Vegas community as a whole, for our city officials, for our teachers, counselors, as the Lord leads in just a moment, I'll have you pray. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you to Eutychus and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, how these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Ricky prayed just a moment ago that yes, Jesus is coming back. Verse 6, though, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Amen. Our request is praying for the Las Vegas community this morning. Brother Ray, would you come? Lead us in prayer for our city officials, grief counselors, teachers, staff, what God lays on your
heart. Could I ask everybody to link hands? You don't have to do it. Cross the aisle so that we have one accord and one heart as we come to our Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, you know our hearts and our minds. You know what the city and each and every one of us are going through right now. And we have to come closer to you, Lord, because you are our protector and our provider. You understand all the things that are happening. You will help us to understand them. You will help us to deal with them in the right way, and that is to trust in you, Lord. Because you have the answers. We pray for each and every one that has responded to the needs of the people, those that were injured, those that are in the hospital, and those that have talked and helped another neighbor or a child that asked why such a travesty could happen. We wonder why it happened here, because we're so conscious of security. Every hotel has security. But Lord, evil can happen no matter how many protections you put up, or how many fences you put up, it can somehow find a way in. So you have to continue to trust in the Lord and pray that He will keep you healthy, keep you moving forward, and each and every one of us has a destiny with death. We know not when it will come, but we know it is coming. That is the only way we lead this life. And we hope we are prepared. And as we go through the city, we want to touch as many people as possible and let them know that God is in command, and He is the one that saves, and He is the one that heals, and He is the one that blesses each and every one of us. We thank You, we praise You, and we love You. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray.
Amen. Amen. Can I take just another brief moment before we sing a final song and go home and ask you to turn to Acts chapter 4. I read from there as we started our time in the Word and with prayer. And I'd like to bring you back, or bring us to this point. I'd like, for number 5 in our thought of prayer, I'd like to ask that we pray for our gospel-centered churches. Amen. The time to rise as a church is now. The time as Christians to engage the community is now.
Amen.
The time to slow down, focus on, and see what's important is now, and that is people. People whom Jesus Christ bled and died for.
Right.
Whom we have the hope and the answer to let them know about eternal life. In Acts chapter 4, we come to a place in chapter 4 where there's much persecution. In fact, there's a moving, of course, Acts chapter 2, and the great revival that has taken place with the church there in Jerusalem, and the many souls that were added, we see the steadfastness and such. And we come into Acts chapter 4. And for sake of time, I want you to look at verse 23. And I'd like to read down through verse 31. And just kind of set a quick scene of Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are wanting to see God do great things. And we see it happening through prayer. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported of all the chief priests and elders what they had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. We talked about one accord a couple weeks back.
Amen.
The unison, the passion, like passion coming along. And here we see it now in Acts chapter 4 again. The church, as they hear the report of those that were thrown in prison and the accusations and how then they were let go, they then lift their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
Yeah.
By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, remember, it started with lifting their voices to the Lord in verse 24 and calling out to God. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And notice this last line. And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
My friend, the reason we gather here today is to, yes, give hope and to give help and to give healing. To encourage a church, to encourage Christians, encourage families that listen. The time is now to rise. The time is now that we as our church, we at Mountain View Baptist Church and all gospel-centered churches across this great city, stand up and go with compassion, go with love. We must realize that once they had prayed, the Holy Spirit was upon them and they went and spoke the word with boldness. Christian church, this week, you're going to have a chance to speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
I want to pray that we do that today and this week. See, every church that opens its door this morning might have a few extra people that have come and gathered and are looking for answers and have heard maybe that a church was going to pray or do this or that. And maybe that's why you're here this morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning if that's the reason. To every attender and member of this church, I ask you to join me and join this city in praying for the churches of Las Vegas to love people well through this tragedy. Pray that hope of the gospel is shared from one side of the city to the other. Pray that this horrible event brings people to point people to God. Pray that what the enemy intended for evil, that God will turn it to good.
Yes, amen.
What is known for Las Vegas? Sin City. But what about if in this tragedy, the news was reporting that not only has, if I may say, sin not been the highlight, but it's a city of love and a city of God's grace.
Amen.
Moving and pouring out from one side of the city to the other. Only God can do that by taking what the enemy intended for evil and turning it into good.
Right.
But also pray that churches will continue opening their doors and arms to those that are hurting. There's a very vibrant community of faith within the city. And I'm pleased to see many pastors and churches opening their doors to those in need. But may I just remind you, we can't just at 11:30 here in 5-7 minutes shake off and move on. We are to engage our church, our community.
Amen.
We are to engage them now.
Amen.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? And then we'll have a song. And then we'll be on our way home. But I'd like to just have us bow one more time. Pray for our gospel center churches. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you again, Lord, I'm just humbled and in awe to be able to be a part of a strong and local church. Lord, I do feel that Mountain View desires to move within the community to let the light be bright. But God, I believe it's time that we, if I may say, have reinforcements, that we all come together and we all stand and we all engage our community now. There are many that are hurting. There are many that are doubting. There are many that are frustrated. There are many that are perplexed over this issue of what took place and why did it take place in their backyard. And Lord, we can hear a message or encouragement like this today, and we could walk out of here, and we could stick to ourselves, we could do our normal life, our normal way, our normal routine. But, oh God, I believe we would miss a very, very huge opportunity to do what you tell us, and that is to engage one another. We learned and we discussed that a few weeks back and how a great church cares for one another. And Lord, now here we are, we're facing, looking in the mirror, Lord, at ourselves, and the opportunity is very, very big. It's really, really real. To be able to go and to interact with people and just to ask them, how are they doing? So God, I'm praying that Mountain View Baptist Church would be the people you want us to be. That we would be united, even as Brother Witt has ask us to lock arms for the community, and Lord, that we would be as a church, that we would be unified, that we would be willing to stand and be willing to go forth. Lord, it's not for Mountain View Baptist Church's name or for our sake. It's for your name, for your sake. And God, I praise you and thank you for the many churches that have opened their doors this morning. Lord, some 20, 30 miles away from us, but yet they're still part of the community, Lord. Others that are right around the corner from us in different areas, Lord, that are meeting and trying to encourage and help people. Lord, it's a horrible event, but God, I pray what the enemy intended for evil, that you'll turn this to good. That you would use every local church in this valley to maybe make a dent in the statement of Sin City. Let it be known as a city of love and a city of God's grace and God's goodness and God's moving and God's mercy upon this vast area. Many pastors, many churches this week will have that opportunity. So let us go now and seize it and be glad that we can be a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say,
amen.
The take home this morning, if I may say, is this. That God would help us be a body of believers that would move forward. That we would be willing to move on, and that with boldness we would go and we would touch others. We talked about those that lost their lives, those that were first responders, those that were around there, our community and our churches. It's all before us. Vegas is strong only as Vegas chooses to be strong and look to the Lord.
Amen.
If you are here because you're Air Force personnel or other reasons, whatever it may be, and maybe you won't be here in a couple, 3 years, Vegas is a very transient city. May I remind you that God brought you here for such a time as this? And would you own it and say that this is my city? Embrace it, love it, care for it. Let's continue to pray for Las Vegas. Let's continue to love the local church that God has brought us a part of. And let's continue now to do something great for God. Can I take 2 minutes? And ask you to look at your life right now and ask this question. Do I know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that if my life was to end right now, that I'd go to heaven? Hear me. I don't want to play on emotions, feelings, but I want you to know this. The Bible is very, very clear that without a shadow of a doubt, you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And no matter what tragedy may come in life, you can have the security of knowing. 1 John 5:13 says that you may know that you have eternal life. Pastor, I'm a good person. I'm trying to get my way there. In fact, I'm going to go out this week and I'm going to do more good things. That's not it. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's this, recognizing that all are sinners. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. But, praise God that he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation or be the payment for all the sins of the world. The only sacrifice that could be given was the sinless Lamb of God. And he came to this earth, died upon that cruel tree, the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and up from the grave he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, making salvation for you and us. Hear me this morning. If you're wrestling with where you're going to spend eternity, you don't have to come back next week to keep your salvation intact. You can know for sure today, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you walked out of this building and you collapsed on the floor and you took your last breath, heaven's all yours.
Amen.
This morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or pray a prayer, but I want to ask you this. If you're wondering, confused, thinking, well, I don't know if I die where I'm going to spend eternity. I want you to take the time this morning for you to leave to talk with someone. Talk with someone.
Amen.
And just get that down. Because Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's your choice. If I took this fancy pen and I said, this pen is yours, all you got to do is take it. It's a free gift. For you to receive the pen, what do you have to do?
Just take it.
Just take it. Just take it. Just just to receive it, right? Salvation is the same way. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. It's already been provided for you to receive the free gift. All you got to do is receive it.